Hello and welcome to the May 2024 episode of The Seagull. The Seagull is the place to stay up to date on everything you need to know about the 102nd Intelligence Wing at Otis Air National Guard Base, right here from beautiful Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I'm Tim Sandlin from Public Affairs, and I'm going to get you up to speed on what's going on here at the Wing. In this month's show, we visit with one of our airmen as he prepared to meet the challenges of the Boston Marathon, and then just a week later, the London Marathon. Quite a feat, or a pair of them at least. We get some thoughts from the Air Force Chief of Staff regarding the Great Power Competition. We also hear a clip from our most recent episode of Chevrons. But first, we hear from our Wing Command Chief, Chief Christopher Hurl, in this month's command message as he talks about the origin, history, and importance of recognizing Armed Forces Day.
It is fitting and proper that we devote one day each year to paying special tribute to those whose constancy and courage constitute one of the bulwarks guarding the freedom of this nation and the peace of the free world. That came from President Eisenhower speaking of Armed Forces Day. Armed Forces Day was established in 1949 as a result of the unification of America's armed forces under the National Security Act of 1947. At the time, all the different armed services components were brought together under one umbrella and renamed the Department of Defense. The unification allowed for a greater efficiency in providing military forces needed to deter war and protect the security of our country. Former Secretary of Defense Lewis Johnson put it this way: Armed Forces Day, Saturday, May 20, 1950, marks the first combined demonstration by America's defense team of its progress under the National Security Act towards the goal of readiness for any eventuality. It is the first parade of preparedness by the unified forces of our land, sea, and air defense. When it comes down to the bottom line, it's the people of the armed services that make it all possible. People like the airmen that make up this wing, people like you. It is you that make it possible for us to accomplish our diverse set of missions, protect our national interests, and take the fight to the enemy. Each of your individual efforts combine to make this wing ready for anything and deadly effective against our adversaries. So this coming Saturday, May 18th, we will observe Armed Forces Day and celebrate our shared and continuing devotion to the security of this country, our allies, and the principles of democracy. I encourage you to take some time during Armed Forces Day to reflect on the challenges that we, as a nation, face today. Realize that you are of a select few that have stepped up and volunteered to defend this country. You are the true patriots of the time. Thank you for your service. Most especially, thank you for being a part of the 102nd. I am honored to be standing by your side.
Staff Sergeant Thomas Mannion, an intel analyst at the 203rd Intelligence Squadron, recently ran the Boston Marathon, his fourth time with the Massachusetts National Guard. Less than a week later, he successfully ran the marathon in London.
When you cross that finish line, all of Boston, if not all of Massachusetts, is there cheering you on, and it's a great feeling. My name is Staff Sergeant Thomas Mannion. I'm a member of the 102nd Intelligence Wing, and I'm running the 2024 Boston Marathon. Running the Boston Marathon means a lot to me, and it's truly an honor to run for the Massachusetts Air National Guard for a fourth time this year. It was always an event that I looked forward to, and it was always something that brought people together. And even after the marathon bombings, one of the victims, Martin Richard, was a neighbor of mine and a member of our community. And the Boston Marathon, ever since then, that tragic event, has just been a day of bringing people together, remembering those that we lost. And that's why any chance that I get to run the Boston Marathon, it means a lot to me. A main reason why I run is for the charities that I represent and fundraise for. For New York City, I represent A Concern Worldwide, which is an Irish humanitarian organization that's dedicated to eradicating poverty around the world. This upcoming London Marathon in April, I'm going to be representing Team Sense, which is another great organization that's going to help kids with disabilities live a life full of perspective and growth. It's always an honor to wear this uniform every day, but to represent the Massachusetts Air National Guard as a runner, it's just another opportunity to get to show the people of the Commonwealth and the nation what we get to do.
General David Allen, Air Force Chief of Staff, shared his thoughts on the Great Power Competition and how you fit into the Air Force's efforts in reoptimization.
Yeah, I think mission-ready airmen isn't intended to impugn the airmen today as though they're not mission-ready. But the idea is that the mission that they will need to accomplish goes beyond their specified task or their specialty or their function. And so by giving them the foundational skills and competencies at basic military training, in the technical schools, in their intermediate skills training, all of those beyond just the technical expertise, we're describing the environment within which they might have to use that and understanding the other parts of the mission that they will be a part of. So mission ready is beyond your technical expertise and moving to where you can understand the environment that you're in and the empowerment that you need and the other things to get the mission accomplished. I think airmen are multi-capable by design, but this is orienting them towards the mission going beyond just their function. And that's why it's a little bit different, but it's not that much of a unique concept, just focusing on the mission. Yeah, specifically, I think it's important for us to realize when we did this project that will be ongoing for years to come while we get it sorted out of reoptimizing for great power competition, it's really two parts. One, we need to recognize the force that we are, adapt to the threat, and make ourselves as ready as possible should we get in conflict sooner than we'd like. That's the today part. And that's the part I think airmen may see most in front of them is the urgent. Because the other part, which I'll talk about in a minute, is really help sustain that competition. But the near-term part on the readiness, it's about making sure the way that we have our forces aligned, the way that we have our wings structured, the way that we have our training done, makes us more ready for the type of combat we may have to face with a great power competitor versus what we've been doing in countering violent extremism for the last 20 years. The other part, with developing the people and developing the capabilities, won't necessarily help us in the next month or 2 months, but is setting the stage for how we develop the capabilities, the tools of the trade, and the airmen who will use those to make sure we can maintain that competitive advantage. That may not reap tangible benefits for the next year or two, but we have to get it started now if we're going to have this enduring competitive edge. Yeah, I think it's important to know that when we talk about units of action, it's not like we're scrapping all of the legacy and heritage of our organizational structure. What we're saying is we need to reinvigorate our wing structure as a unit of action. And by that I mean when we did this reoptimization work, we did a little bit of introspection and realized that we had optimized ourselves over the last 20 to 30 years to be able to supply what the environment in the Middle East and countering violent extremism meant. And that was a small number of forces, specific specialties that could support the joint force, but not in the manner that we need an entire set of squadrons or a large formation to fight major combat. That requires a different organizational structure and a different mindset. So the idea behind units of action is evolving from the way we currently support the joint force in the Middle East, for example, where we have a small unit, maybe a few fighters or a few different types of weapon systems, surrounded by a crowdsourced group that go over and meet in the Middle East. That's the first time you meet your commander or the first time you meet someone else who's doing the mission with you is over in a deployed location. We can't afford to do that anymore. We don't have the time, and the environment is too complex and dynamic. So instead, reinvigorating the wing as the unit that will train together with the same units inside the fence line for the same mission, we don't do that often enough right now. And making sure that they have everything that they need to pick up and deploy and employ and sustain as soon as possible. So it's more about having fewer units training together as one whole coherent unit of action before they go and deploy. Now, not all missions are deployed missions. Some of them are employed in place. So we call them the in-place combat wings. They also need to be coherent units of action, and the base surrounding them needs to be able to support them where they project power at the installation. So it's really just a reorientation of understanding that we're going to train and deploy as larger units that can function immediately once they hit the ground and deploy location. Continue to focus on the mission. You will not see the result of some of these changes, because some of these changes are long-term and they're about capability development and they're about different institutions. But for you, what we want you to focus on is the pacing challenge. You should see your training start to evolve to be more oriented towards that. You should see the manner in which you train in larger formations, in a more of an agile combat employment type of an environment. Those are the things that you should see changing. You should see a more coherent force development that has us all speaking the same language with the environment, the pacing threat, the threat environment that's out there. Those are what you should notice. But the bottom line is your Air Force is still the best Air Force in the world, and it's only the best Air Force in the world because of what you do. And every change that we are making should not be a distraction from. It should be additive to what you're doing to get us better prepared to defend the nation.
In this episode of Chevrons, we talked to Chief Master Sergeant Shane McGuire from the 102nd ISRG and Senior Master Sergeant Rachel Jacobs from the 102nd LRS about the importance of participation and being involved in something that contributes to a cause bigger than ourselves. We talked Top 3 Council, Rising 6, and explore a number of other opportunities that enlisted service members can take advantage of in giving back to the force.
I really would encourage you all to go to the Rising 6 and figure out what other like obstacles airmen are facing, and then you can bring that back either to me or to another trusted senior NCO or whatever, and just like iron out those details. I feel like a lot of the times like the junior enlisted have an issue, but they don't always feel comfortable going up to their senior NCOs. And I feel like you all hashing that out at Rising 6 and then in turn go into Top 3. I feel like that's a huge like reason for us going to these meetings. But just that encouragement piece is really important, I think.
You brought it up, right? It's the, excuse me, it's the competing priorities. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, our understanding is we come to an RSD and commanders have approximately 16 hours, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less time with their airmen to accomplish whatever objectives are necessary to train and prepare for whatever mission they might be tasked with. And that's a heavy lift given all of the requirements we have on our airmen between readiness, whether it's medical or ancillary training, time for development, right? CDCs, the new foundations courses that are headed our way, PME. There's a lot that occupies our weekends and that small window of time. So from a council standpoint, we realize what we're asking commanders and supervisors to do to give us their airmen's time. But I cannot underscore just how it important it is, not only to the wing, but to the individual airman's development to try. And I got it. You know, not everybody's going to be able to let their member go. I completely understand that. But I guess the ask from a council standpoint would to commanders and supervisors would be give your airmen as the mission allows, give your airmen the opportunity to come and be a part of this thing. Because not only is it's good for our airmen, it's good for our wing, but it's fun. We have a lot of fun. That's my pitch anyways.
Thanks for listening to The Seagull. For additional ways to stay up to speed on what's going on at the wing, check out the Commander's Channel on the base cable network on channel 27.1. The Commander's Channel will be active during all regularly scheduled drills and during annual training periods. For more news from the 102nd Intelligence Wing, visit our website at www.102iw.ang.af.mil or search for 102iw on any major social media platform.